Our scripture today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. These are the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us pray. Oh God, your never-failing providence sets in order all things, both in heaven and earth. Put away from us, we plead with you, all hurtful things, and give us those things which are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Welcome is such a simple word. It is one of those words which is taught early when learning a foreign language. Most of us have welcome mats outside our front doors that simply say, welcome. Perhaps a welcome sign or plaque on the door or even inside the house. Regardless of where it's located, we want to communicate to those who enter that they are welcome. The word welcome is normally associated with a special guest. That is, we don't normally welcome family members in any special way if they return from a trip to the supermarket or been out gardening. Usually a welcome is extended to a special guest, as I said earlier. We welcome people in many different settings. One of the most obvious is at the airport. People welcome arriving passengers, or probably one of the most touching is the soldiers who return from overseas duty. It is really very pleasing to the eyes to see such reunions. What does it mean to welcome someone? We are delighted, pleased, and very glad to see them. We have a happy smile on our faces, which sends a message of pleasure that the person is here. In fact, it is from the beginning of the Bible and Genesis through the New Testament, we see this sort of hospitality syndrome which takes place throughout. Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 2 said, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I remember growing up, when I was a child, we would travel. My parents and sister and I, we would go to visit relatives who had moved north to Michigan to work in the automobile plants. And we would go visit uncles and cousins, all those people. I remember one was my mother's nephew and his family. We would go visit them, and my cousin, his wife, was named Eva. Eva was one of the most wonderful people, most congenial, most welcoming person I've ever met in my life. But there was one flaw about her. She would come running out the front door when she would see us. Well, I knew what her strategy was. She would literally run up to a person and hug them. I'm talking about, you know, those Russian bear hugs. She would squeeze the life out of you. Your tongue would be sticking out. And I remember I said, I am not going to get hugged. I did not want to be hugged, so I shoved my father and my mother and my sister ahead of me. So by the time she got to me, she was tired, so she didn't give me much of a hug. I guess I was practicing social distancing long before it became fashionable. Matthew was a tax collector who not only collected taxes, but eventually stories of Christ as well. In this chapter, Christ described in detail what he expected of his fellow disciples. The 12 disciples were to carry out the Lord's mission to preach, teach, and heal. They were to dress simply plus endure persecutions by government, friends, strangers, and family. Just imagine how difficult that was to endure such things. Christ evidently took the spirit and application of hospitality very seriously. The disciples were sent out, and those who welcomed them into their homes welcomed Christ. Christ told them that. The first disciples were ambassadors for Christ. Likewise, with an ambassador who represents a head of state, a foreign nation welcomes the ambassador as the representative of their country's head of state. It's as if you were appointed as ambassador to the court of St. James in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. We collectively would be representing our country to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. The uniqueness of the Gospel of St. Matthew is amazing. The word reward, listen to this, the word reward is recorded 13 times in the Gospel of St. Matthew, but used sparingly in the other Gospels. As people welcomed the disciples into their homes, they would be blessed by God for doing so. When we walk in God's way, we are blessed and rewarded. Even if we give a cup of cold water, God will bless us in doing good deeds for those in need, being generous to the poor and the hungry, the lonely, whoever is in need. It is not to impress others and receive applause from people. God will also bless us when we welcome new people into our churches. To walk in the way of God by applying God's hospitality to others, blessings will flow from God for being a welcoming people. First impressions are so important. Those of us who have had to go to job interviews, it was always a time of nervousness. It was a time of nail-biting, literally. A visitor or a guest sizes up a community or church in a few minutes about whether or not they are accepted or rejected, make friends, or decide if it is a friendly environment. I remember an incident happened, it's been several years ago, at a former church. I can tell this story now because the leading person in it is dead now. But Joyce was one of those willing workers. She would do everything from, she would change the communion table cloth, she would do the paraments, she was into everything, and she did an excellent job. You could not ask for anyone who could do clean the church or do whatever was needed better than Joyce. Also, Joyce was one, once she started getting authority to do that, she maintained control over that as well. Now, Christian education books call her the gatekeeper type of person. What is a gatekeeper? A gatekeeper is someone in a sort of a figurative role who screens people who come into the church. And I remember this one person was coming to church, and she had talked to me about joining it. And one Sunday, Peggy was wearing capris. I don't have a dress code for any church I've been in, never have. She was dressed very nicely. Well, Joyce took it upon herself to tell her that she had a nice and beautiful new dress at her home, and Peggy could have it since she didn't have one to wear. I didn't hear about that till later, but I thought that was so unkind of someone telling this to a newcomer in the church. Fortunately, Peggy overlooked her, and she did join later. Then there's another story about took place in the late 60s. There was a greeter. He was a deacon in the church. And all of a sudden, this large group of hippies showed up. They were barefooted. Now, you had to remember, and some of you may do, there was a movement in the church. It was like a revival called the Jesus Freaks. And they were hippies. And they would come to churches. Well, guess what? They showed up one Sunday morning at this particular church. Well, now, what would you have done when you have this group of people coming in? Some of us would have been frightened. Some of us would have been shocked. Our jaws would have dropped. But you know what that deacon did? He welcomed them. He escorted them down the aisle. They wanted to sit down front and practically in front of the pulpit. They didn't want to sit in a pew. And you know what he did? He sat down with them. That one action demonstrated and spoke 1,000 words. Unfortunately, there were not enough of those type of greeters around because the traditional church could not cope or integrate with those people very well. But I do believe there was a revival going on among the young people in the late 60s and early 70s, if only the established church had welcomed them more. At my first church, a young man named Ricky showed up with his girlfriend. He's a college student. Had a ponytail and pierced ears, and he would attend worship with his girlfriend. She was also a college student. And he was definitely not groomed in traditional church attire, but I kept my moral indignation to myself. Several years later, he made a profession of faith, was baptized, and married by me. Now today, he is a Dade County, Florida cop and feels called to become an ordained Presbyterian minister of the gospel. Thank goodness I refrain from any negative comments. Christ encouraged people to give a cup of cold water. And I like to think that this passage said to little ones, it was to the children. And you must remember, in those days in the ancient world, children were nobodies on the social scale. They were considered nothing. But Christ wanted them to be included, and to share a cup of cold water expressed a special compassion to that person. The quality of welcoming is a sign, signal, and symbol. And if people are welcomed warmly in their first encounter, such sincerity will have its rewards later. Most surveys of what people are looking for in a church can be quite surprising. You know, the top response revealed that it was the people in the local congregation who made visitors feel welcome. And sadly, on my part, it's not necessarily a powerful sermon delivered by an eloquent preacher. The sermon was important, but it did not outrank the welcoming factor. People who may visit a church for the first time could be seekers or they could be unchurched. Either way, in the text for today, Christ wants us to welcome strangers as we would hopefully welcome Him. Perhaps some people who come to church for the first time may eventually join a Sunday school class, the choir, or just a worship. However, not only will they be completely transformed by coming to church, in reality, all of us will be transformed for the better by their presence. Welcoming, it can be said and done in so many ways, but it's the action which counts. Willkommen, bienvenidos, seja bem-vindo, shalom, aloha, welcome, all in the name of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Oh, gracious God, thank you for allowing us to have your spirit of welcoming to those who may be friends or strangers, those in need, those who are aged, those who are adults and children, men and women. All are welcome, O Lord. We give thanks to give us that spirit, and may our hearts always be open to them. We pray this through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Let us now join together and affirm our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ through the Creed today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And God bless all of you.